Friends, join with me in prayer. O Holy One, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be ever and always acceptable unto you. For you are our rock and our redeemer, our Alpha and our Omega, beginning and our end, source of our love, and a wellspring of our joys. Amen. Well, we may have missed the celebrating the event in past years. However, this year we celebrated World Gratitude Day. Only one day late, as we began our fall focus last week on gratitude. Now, in all fairness, World Gratitude is relatively new for us. It was birthed in Hawaii, a place of, it's hard not to be grateful there, back in 1965. And over the last 54 years, a growing number of countries have taken this opportunity to lift up gratitude. So last week, on September 22nd, we began to do just that, lifting up gratitude, considering this as a part, as a significant part of our faith expression and experience. We began recalling historically how history has not been kind to gratitude, slowly shoving gratitude into the corner. The corner just reserved for polite, pleasant attributes held by well-behaved school children and maybe perhaps lifted up on days when families gather around a turkey dinner. At one time, however, remember that gratitude was the currency used that maintained proper order in civil society. Gratitude was about reciprocity. An appreciation was returned to benefactors in our lives. Kings and emperors would offer gifts of safety and provision, and their loyal subjects would gratefully express loyalty, taxes, and other measures of gratitude. Back in this era, ingratitude, we remember, was not merely a case of bad manners. It allowed proper rule and order in society. But things, of course, have shifted. It was about 300 years, historians say, 300 years ago, when laws increasingly replaced gratitude exchanges, and gratitude increasingly lost its strong profile in society. Gratitude today, it seems to be an increasingly optional thing that we seek to nurture in our children, and it's quickly becoming optional, sometimes even in social interchanges as well. And its future is certainly seeming to be in peril. Yet long before gratitude suffered its decline, long before it was an essential component in maintaining social order, gratitude had profound power. Gratitude was a powerful, overwhelming emotion that had the ability to overcome people in their living. We explored last week's text of the wise men, who were reminded that gratitude was that overpowering emotion that led them to follow the brightest star. It was that overpowering emotion that led them to offer their priceless gifts. It was that overpowering emotion that led them that fateful night. It was that overcoming emotion of gratitude. We closed last week with an encouragement for us all to continue pursuing or maybe begin developing a personal gratitude practice. The goal with gratitude practices, however they look, is one of reclaiming this beautiful emotion of gratitude that lies deep and often dormant within each of us. So for those of us who like to journal, we're encouraged to spend some of our journaling time each day on gratitude, journaling a few things we're grateful for. For our devotional prayer time, to include a few moments on gratitude. For our mealtime grace, to include a moment on gratitude. However it looks, in all to discover or to rediscover this powerful motion of gratitude that we as wise men and wise women each hold deeply in our hearts. Now, as we seek to reclaim this powerful part of our faith heritage, we cannot just stop at gratitude as being a mere feeling, as powerful as feelings are. This, friends, this is just the tip of the iceberg. Emotion is certainly the foundation of gratitude. However, gratitude is more than just a feeling. The problem with anything that is only a feeling is that feelings can be unpredictable and come and go. Feelings such as joy or sadness or fear can be random and fleeting. They're not necessarily predictable and can be like the wind that moves through our lives. The good news about gratitude is that it is more than just a feeling. This morning we move on to consider how gratitude is also a powerful disposition. A gratitude can be an ethic. Gratitude can be something that can serve to guide our very living. Last week we considered, if you will, how gratitude is a noun, an emotion, and this morning we consider how gratitude can be a verb, an instigator, an ethic of commitment that guides and motivates our actions and our faithful living. This morning's text revisits a well-known story of Jesus' healing. 10 people infected by this terrible disease called leprosy. These 10 were social outcasts, yet they seek Jesus out for healing of their affliction. They know that Jesus will welcome them, will greet them, and offer them healing. With our gratitude focus this morning, we notice some very interesting features of this story. Firstly, 9 of the 10 who were healed seemingly just proceed to move on with their lives. We don't exactly know what they do after the healing. However, their response does not seem to warrant anything memorable in Luke's telling of the story because there's no mention of them after. These 9 seem to just go on with their day, no longer infected, seemingly returning back to the habits of normal day life. In his book, The Power of Habit, neuroscientist Charles Duhigg notes that much of our activity in life is habitual. Duhigg suggests that 99% of the time we have the opportunity to be grateful for something. However, we just don't notice, let alone respond in gratitude. The danger, he notes, with our autopilot tendency in our minds is that we can go through our lives in a daze, without noticing if we're not careful, without feeling gratitude, just like the 9 lepers did. Now, to be sure, creating a gratitude response will be challenging. Just like any other habit, it will need to be understood as a disciplined practice. We all know how difficult it is to create any new pattern in our lives, any new habit in our ways. We can all remember trying to change a part of our lifestyle, like changing our diet or our exercise regime or our emotional balance. I mean, how many of us have tried a diet? We've lost maybe 10 pounds, only to fall back into our old habits and gain those 10 pounds right back. We all have, right? It's profoundly challenging to change these well-worn habits that are in our being. In his book, Outliers, The Story of Success, Malcolm Gladwell describes the 10,000-hour practice benchmark. He says that experts undergo about a 10,000-hour mark before they become outstanding in their field. Not that we want to become maybe experts at gratitude, but just for us to acknowledge how challenging it is. In order for us to shift our pattern towards ones of gratitude in our living and in our being, we need to be patient. We need to be persistent. We need to have a practice around gratitude. We need to acknowledge this as a deep challenge in our living and in our faith. Getting back to the text, there was another character in the story, wasn't there? Aside from the 9 who were sort of the passive actors who received the healing and go on their way, there was one other character, the one who returns back to Jesus to say thanks. The text tells it this way: "Then one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back, praising God with a loud voice. He prostrates himself at Jesus' feet and thanks him. And he was a Samaritan. Then Jesus asked, "Were not 10 made clean? But the other 9, where are they? Was none of them found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner?" Then he said to him, "Get up, go on your way. Your faith has made you well." I wonder what made this one turn back to Jesus. What made this one turn back to Jesus and praise God? As we look at this one curious character, we're given insight into what gratitude, what lived gratitude truly looks like when it's not just a noun. We see what gratitude looks like when it's also a verb. At a psychological level, gratitude is not just about passive reflection. Jesus will not allow this one to stop and worship at his feet, will he? No, he won't let him stop there. Having expressed his gratitude, Jesus tells the grateful recipient, "Get up and go on your way." Gratitude is not just about being thankful for the thing that has already occurred, though that is a significant part of it. Gratitude is also about creating a new way of being, a new way of living, living into the tomorrows that we have blessing and hope yet soon to be discovered. When gratitude becomes an ethic that guides our actions, when gratitude becomes a verb, not just a noun, things start to change in your life and in mine. We start to see things differently. We start to live in different ways. The 9 who were healed returned back into their normal lives. However, this one who went back to Jesus had things changed forever. When you look for things to be grateful in your life, you find them. And once you start looking, you discover that gratitude begets more gratitude. Like all habits, gratitude builds upon itself. Gratitude is this deep habit of awareness that serves to reshape our self-understanding. It guides the moral choices we make in the world. In short, gratitude becomes an ethic. It is a coherent sense of principles, of grace, of gifts and giving that will guide our very living. There's some interesting wisdom I came across that comes from the Japanese art of Aikido. It's a practice, apparently, that can roughly be translated as holding soft eyes. As one widens their periphery, their peripheral vision, and looks all the way out into the world, they gain a larger viewpoint, and a greater perspective with which to view gratitude. Conversely, when a threatening stimulus enters our world, our fight or flight kind of response takes over, and we tend to take a more narrow viewpoint. We take the opposite approach. The wisdom of Aikido challenges us to do the reverse, to adopt this wide perspective instead of the narrower one that we naturally take. To find other opportunities, even in those threatening times, other opportunities for thanksgiving, for gratefulness, for grace in the world. The wonderful poet Maya Angelou wrote, "If you must look back, do so forgivingly. If you must look forward, do so prayerfully. However, the wisest thing you can do is to be present in the present. Gratefully." While the 9 in the story go about their daily lives, the one who returns to Jesus goes forth with a new and a renewed faith. He will forever be changed, and he will go forth with an awareness of gratitude and grace in his life. What if we allowed gratitude to be this overwhelming feeling in our lives? A feeling, in fact, so powerful that it captures our living and causes us to live in new and renewed and changed ways. But even more than that, what if we work towards allowing gratitude to be the guiding light in our living? Let us join with the one who returned in deep gratitude, and let us proceed to live in ways of gratitude for our faith. Indeed, our faith will make us well. Amen.